plot somewhere else, right? People are coming over. We're going to barbecue. We're going to do all these things. But Jesus' resurrection from the dead conquered sin, conquered death, and anything else that overcomes humanity. And by the way, there's a whole lot of stuff that overcomes humanity, isn't there? So when we meet Jesus, our Savior, and walk with him by faith, living and enduring hope is found. And I hope today that we find it and we take it with us. So we're going to dive in a little further this morning into the text. And I want to begin this morning. The resurrection story, by the way, as you guys saw, we read from Luke chapter 24. It is found in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the pillar of our faith that Jesus is alive. And today I want to take us, we're going to go back there, by the way. We're going to look at the ladies and look at what took place and what happened there. But I want us to understand, I want to define for a second, what is living hope? What is hope? By the way, you all probably said it. Maybe you have, how many people got family coming over today? Raise your hand. I'm not coming. Don't worry. You can say. It's okay. Raise your hand, right? How many people got family coming over? You probably say, by looks of the congregation, looks like they're all here too. Right? But you probably said this before the weekend. You said, man, I hope the weather is nice. Right? I hope it's good. And by the way, God delivered, right? As he does, is good. God delivered. But there's so much more to hope than just wishful thoughts. And we're going to talk about that this morning. By the way, I praise God. I see some of you here today. By the way, praise God. Walt Meekins, I'm so glad to see you, my brother, that you're doing good. Amen. Our prayer list is lengthening, but God's grace is growing bigger. Right? We praise God. So check it out. We're going to look at three things about this idea of living hope. Living hope is given. And by the way, it's given by God. We don't earn it. We don't get it someplace else. God gives it. Living hope is something that we all need to grasp, understand. We really got to get our hands around that. And living hope, by the way, is often tested. But it makes it better, not worse. We're going to kind of dive into that. So let's go down to our verse, if you would, there. Please, Laura, thank you so much. So check it out. Living hope is given. I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Let's just read it for a second. And we're actually going to pick it up in verse 3, just to save us a couple of moments. But look what it says there. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, and I'm going to stop for a second. You know what? We have hope, everyone, because God loves you. And by the way, he doesn't care what you were, who you were, or even what you're struggling with today. God loves you. And because of his mercy, because he loved us, it says he has begotten us again to a living hope. And I want to say this. The word there that's used in the Greek language for begotten us, it's like a creative word. Like God made living hope be born again in you. And as I look out at you, can anybody use a little living hope born again in them? Amen, amen, right? Life's kind of pounded us maybe this week or this year or, you know, throughout the seasons, and we need that hope. And he says these words, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So everybody look up. This living hope is not going to be found in how good your bank account is today. This living hope is not going to be found in how healthy or not you are today. This living hope isn't going to be everybody's here today, so I'm happy. This living hope is based on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. He's not there. He's alive. Amen. You know, as our children sang, he's alive what? Again. He's alive again. We have that living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I want to share with you, what did that afford us? And look what it says. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Pastor Anson, you're reading my mind. Thank you, my brother. Allergy season has arrived, huh? Right? It's just tearing us up, right? So check it out for a second. That living hope, it's based on the resurrection of Christ. But what is it? And here's what it's all about. It's also based on this fact, that we have an inheritance. And look about this inheritance, right? It is incorruptible, means it can't rust away. It can't fall into disrepair. It's not going to be damaged by an earthquake, a storm, or a tornado. Nothing can affect it. And it says it's undefiled, it's pure. It doesn't ever leave. It's not going to fade away for any reason. And it's reserved in heaven for us. And then check this out. Everybody look at this. How many people got money in the bank? Bobby, I know. Hey, you guys are in church. You're saying, uh-oh, here we go. Let me tell you this. The offering is done, and we never come around a second time. So don't worry. You're okay, right? You're all right. And please, if you turn my lapel mic on, too. All right. So check it out. This living hope that we have is kept by the power of God. Not by the FDIC. You know, not by your broker, not by your money manager, not by your insurance company. And by the way, not by your government or anyone else's government. It is kept by the power of the living God. That's a hope we can wrap our hands around. All those other things one day will fail. Jesus never fails. Right? And we want to understand that. And look what it says. Kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And that day is, you know, one day we're going to leave this earth. Either if Jesus comes back and we'll leave through the rapture, or if he doesn't come back while we're still in that process of passing away, we're going to step into eternity with him through death. But we have a living hope. And that's what I want you guys to wrap your hands around today. That is different than any other hope we wish for. And I want to give you a couple thoughts to think about. Get this in your mind, right? Living hope is what? Given by God. It results from the resurrection. By the way, all the doubts about who Jesus is are eliminated in a living Savior once we believe and understand. You know, we say, oh, he can't do that. Remember he raised Lazarus from the dead? Well, Lazarus unfortunately died again. Jesus rose and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. By the way, ever praying and making intercession for each one of us in his family. Right? We have an inheritance that can't be lost in any way. And by the way, here's the funny thing. You know, you don't have to lock your door for this inheritance. You don't have to put it in a safety deposit box. You know, you don't have to insure it somehow. God's keeping it for us, right? And it's kept by the power of God. So that's this idea of this living hope that the Bible talks about. It's different from any other hope. And take us down to the next slide, if you would. Check out what he says. And I want you guys to get your hand about that was living hope sort of laid out. Now, here's living hope. Let's kind of get our understanding going about what this means. And look what the Apostle Paul wrote. He says, in this, if you really understand this, by the way, you greatly rejoice. You know why? Because all of us are getting older. We're a little closer to heaven than we ever were. And for a lot of us, there's probably more days behind us than there are in front of us. Right? So we're rejoicing. It says, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And I'll throw this out. The fact that you are a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't mean everything in your life will be perfect. There'll be no issues, no problems. Your car won't break down. Everything will go well. That is not the truth. I wish it was, but it's not true. But we rejoice that we have a living hope. And look what it says here. It says, if need be, you have been grieved by many trials, various trials. And I want us to understand this. The fact that we go through trials are made to develop us. God, by the way, every issue that hits you in life goes through the hands of God first. And the trials come to grow us, to help us shed the things that don't matter, to help us to understand and focus on eternity, not on today. And he says this, by the way, living hope is real. And here's a good thing about living hope. It rejoices even in the trial. And by that kind of a Christian word, rejoice. In other words, we have joy, we have peace, we have satisfaction, even though things are going on in our life. That's what a living hope is. It's alive, it's vibrant, it's there, right? And by the way, these trials, it proves the genuineness of our faith and our love. It culminates in our salvation. And the point I want you to get a hold of as we grasp this, living hope is not wishful, positive thinking. And we all do it. We wish for good weather. We hope everything goes well. We hope the airline is on time. You know, we hope we can make it to this and we can do that. That is all wishful thoughts that we have no control over. Many of them come true, but there's no power that we have to make it happen. That's a wishful thought. A living hope is one that we are confident that God is going to work out his perfect plan for our lives. And I wrote it on the screen. It is a confident expectation concerning what God will do. Right? It's not I hope it's going to be nice tomorrow. It's, you know what? God's going to be in tomorrow, whether it rains, snows, or it's sunny all day long. Right? That's the difference. That's that living hope. We know God's got this. You hear people say that? Say, we got this. Well, you know what? God has got this. And God has got you. And God has got me. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. Let's be honest. Do we live like that's true? How about it, right? Anybody kind of, you get down, you moan and groan, complain. Does anybody have a friend who does that? Sometimes that friend is us, huh? Yeah, right? Right? Amen, right? That's what it means, living hope. Not wishful thought, but guess what? Hey, I'm confident God is in this. God's got this. He's going to work out his perfect will in my life today, tomorrow, and forever. And that's the hope that was secured as Jesus rose from the dead. So we're going to skip down. By the way, we have two preachers today. That seems scary if you're cooking and that ham's in the oven, right? But me and Pastor Ansel, we put our thoughts together, so don't worry. We're going to be okay, right? So here's the next thing. Living hope gets tested, right? And he says that, and I just kind of go down to the bottom and kind of summarize. It says, the trials challenge our thinking and our beliefs. The trials test who we are and what we really believe. The trials result in opportunities to grow and bring honor to God as we learn and stand on God's word. By the way, what's the last phrase? Read it with me. Not on what? We don't stand on our doubts. You know, we don't wonder, is God really going to show up for me? Because you know what? God's going to show up. We know he's going to show up. By the way, he always seems a little delayed or a little bit late, but he's actually right on time. God's going to show up. So our living hope gets tested for sure. We're going to skip right down to the next one. So check it out. We know that. Now we understand, right? Living hope is what? Not a what? Wishful, positive thought, right? It's a reality because Jesus rose from the dead, and when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So let's check it out. By the way, it's interesting as the Lord gave us the scriptures. Isn't it great that the people in scriptures are just about as much as a mess as we are? But we look good today. The pastors, we look good. We coordinated our shirts and everything today. Underneath that shirt, we are a mess, right? And so are you, right? We look good. It's all on the front, right? But check it out. Let's look at this Living Hope idea. Go back with you, Wood, just for a second. Sorry about that. I want to think about this idea of Living Hope. And here's the deal. I called it Living Hope Unrealized. And for Jesus' disciples, who are people just like me and you, it took them a long while to wake up to the fact that Jesus is alive and life has changed for everybody. They were a little slow. They were not the dream team. Remember that U.S. basketball had the dream team, right? Jesus' disciples were not the dream team. They were like our team. They were just like us. They were a mess, right? And we're going to understand as we look at this passage, by the way, it's given in all the Gospels. We're going to focus on the book of Luke. And you see that picture there, right? What's that picture? Get it with me. What's that picture, kids? What do you see on the screen? What's that picture? That is the empty tomb. Jesus is gone. The stone is rolled away. The ladies, they come and they get there, and they are falling to pieces. What's going on? Jesus isn't here. So we're going to talk about that for a quick second. Take us down, if you would. So check this out. Let's just take a minute and remember the events of Good Friday and after. How do we get here? Remember what happened? It says, now it's about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus really died on Friday. He didn't pass out. People used to say it was called the swooning theory. Jesus just passed out, and he woke up in the coolness of the tomb. No, Jesus was dead. The centurion pierced his side. Blood and water ran out. Jesus was dead. He was gone, right? And by the way, when the centurion who did that saw him, he said he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that site, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. I want you guys to get this idea. This is where we left off on Friday. You know what it means to beat your breasts? It's just a feeling of overwhelming grief, maybe even some guilt poured into that, and sort of a fear of what is going to happen next. So that happened. And it says, but his acquaintances and the woman who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Take us to the next slide. And behold, there was a man named Joseph. Remember, Joseph of Arimathea is called. A council member, a good and just man, and he had not consented to their decision in their deed of killing Jesus. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. And this man went to Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. And they took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, meaning carved out of the rock, and there was no one who had ever lain in the tomb before. So Jesus is buried in a fresh new cave or tomb. And it says, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near, and the woman who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. So everybody look up for a second. These ladies, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all these ladies, guess what? They literally saw Jesus placed in the tomb. They saw that he was dead. They understood what had taken place in terms of looking at the reality of life, not the spiritual peace, right? So they did that. And it says, and they returned and they prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So I want you guys to understand, Jesus died on Friday. The Sabbath is what day? Saturday. It's the day of rest. Jesus' dead body needs to be embalmed. It needs to be prepared for, as what people say, his eternal rest. They didn't know Jesus, did they? But they couldn't do it on Saturday because it was the Sabbath. But in their mind, they had one thing in their mind. We have to fulfill our duty faithfully to take care of the dead body of Jesus. And hopefully you get an idea where I'm going. Here's where I'm going. Don't we as believers, we're often very faithful and very dutiful about what we need to do, but we have no hope that is beyond human hope. And the ladies were much like that. And I want to turn to the next scripture. Check it out. Take me down one slide if you would. Thank you. Look what happened. It says, now on the first day of the week, but by the way, is Sunday, the day we worship. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. Everybody look up. What did the ladies come to do? Take care of his dead body, right? Very faithful, very dutiful. They were good friends. They were good followers. But they weren't hopeful for a different end, were they? Not really. It doesn't seem like it, right? And check it out. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in, and they did not find the body of Jesus. And look what it says. Remember, by the way, they saw how Jesus was laid in the tomb. They saw, I guess, the rock rolled across. By the way, the rock would take multiple people to roll the rock away. And the Romans placed a guard there so that no one could say Jesus had rose from the dead, or no one could steal his body and make him a martyr. So the ladies, they get there. And by the way, I want to ask you a question. And you'll see it coming up. I want you to think about it now. Where were the men? Huh. By the way, praise God that God gave us some strong women, right? But I want to say this, you know what? God wants some strong men to step up to the plate and be a follower of Jesus, right? Right? But check it out. It says, they were greatly perplexed, and it says, then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth, and they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's what? Risen. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Jesus, by the way, said it in every gospel. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to rise again. And here's the funny thing. They remembered a lot of other things that Jesus did. They didn't remember that most hopeful point, which, by the way, is the point. They didn't remember that. So think about their response just for a second. And we'll take it down to the next slide. And some questions I want you guys to just contemplate for a second. Where are the men? And by the way, that's a challenge for us as men. Because in our day, you know what? Spiritually, we delegate that part to our wives and to the ladies to do all the work of the body of Christ, and that is wrong. God wants us as men to step up, man up, and be the godly men he wants us to be, right? The woman came dutifully and faithfully to prepare the body for burial as is custom. Not very hopefully. They were shocked. Where is Jesus? And the angels had to say, he's alive. They had forgotten Jesus' words in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the resurrection. And I want to ask a question. So where do you and I fit into this picture? Where do we fit? Are we, by the way, praise God for faithful people. Praise God for dutiful people. But really praise God for people that hold in their arms and in their heart the living hope that Jesus is alive. My sins are forgiven. My eternity is sure. And I know where I'm going no matter what happens. Right? Amen. At this time, and today we scheduled, kind of timed our service out so that we could hear really from every generation. And at this time, our teen praise dancers are going to come and share a season of praise with us before Pastor Ansu closes us out.
Said, "Don't cry." That's the title of the song. And we will continue from where Pastor Gary stopped just for the next 45 minutes. Amen. So imagine with me, right? As Pastor Gary said, Jesus had already told the disciples about going to Jerusalem, will be crucified, the Son of Man will be crucified. And on the third day, what's going to happen? He's going to rise again. And they forgot about that. And we want to look at what Luke have to tell us about the living hope that was realized on Sunday morning. The living hope that was realized on Sunday morning so quickly. Let's go to the next slide. We dealt with all of that. Keep going. Because nobody wants to stay here for the next 45 minutes. But we have a living hope realized. And there were a couple of people in the scripture mentioned who had no hope, now realized hope. We want to look at first the women. We want to look at Peter. We want to look at Cleopas and friend on the road of Emmaus. And we want to look at the disciples. Now, all these people were still contemplating, they were still thinking about Jesus. Many of our lost loved ones, right? And you don't just let them go easily. When you wake up, you don't see them, you don't hear the voice, you only imagine them. And think about how these folks were thinking, how where they were at a particular time of their life. The one who they saw raise Lazarus from the grave, the one who they saw heal the sick, the one who they saw fed the 5,000, and all the great things that he did in the very present. He's gone. Where is their hope? So quickly, let us go to our next slide. The women. Thank God for the women, right? In Luke chapter 24, verse 8 to 11, it says that, and they remember his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary, Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who told all these things to the apostles. Now, Pastor Gary spoke about that earlier. These women went to the grave to prepare the body of Jesus. And when they got there, imagine how they felt. They were grieving. And when they went there, before in the previous verse, the tomb was empty and the angel, and he said, why are you here searching for the living among what? The dead. And they said, someone stole our Lord's body. They forgot. And the angel in verse 8 said, haven't you remembered why he told you that he will die and on the third day he will resurrect? And the Bible says in verse 8, and they remember his words. Now it clicked to them. Oh, yes, he said that in all the gospel that the grave will not have control of him. He said, my body I laid down and I have the power to what? Take it up. Not even the grave have power over my body. And at a particular moment, they regain hope. Because now they remember what Christ told them. Hey, because of the hope and the joy of God, they could not keep it to themselves. And the Bible said they ran to the 11. And where were they? They were hiding behind doors. But you see, there are times when you experience hopeless situation. There are times when you experience things in your personal life that you cannot comprehend, you cannot overcome. And sometimes we forget about what God's word says. Even when we go into struggles, when we go into trials, we forgot what his word says. What he reminds us about. He said he's going to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. He said when you go through the fire, hey, I'll be there. He said when you go through the storm, I'll be there. He said when you go through the flood, I'll be there. But sometimes we forget about him. We forget about his word. They remember and they ran. I don't want to keep you here for the next 45 minutes. Listen. When they remember his word, they now had a message of hope. And they couldn't keep that message of hope to themselves anymore. They have to take that message of hope to the others. You know, sometimes when God does something in our lives, it's good to testify about the goodness of God in your life. That's a message of hope for others who have doubt that God cannot do the same in their life. Don't keep it to yourself. Amen? And the next person, let's go back to Peter, go back. And the next person we want to talk about was Peter. Now, think about Peter, his relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the same Peter who told Jesus, when Jesus said he was about to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, the Son of Man had to go to Jerusalem. Peter said, Lord, you remember when you went there the last time? We have to run away. And now you go in there? No. And Jesus told Peter, he said, hey, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, Peter was our disciple who was close to Jesus. And like everything he had respond, he had answers to everything that Jesus would have to say. He was our disciple that everyone would look up to before they say something because Peter was the main guy. Now, well, all that he had. And Jesus said, Peter, Peter said, I will go with you, Lord. And Peter, Jesus said, you cannot carry the cross. And Peter said, I will, Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, the cock going to crow 3 times. And you're going to deny me that you do not know me. And guess what? He did. He denied Jesus. Now, imagine the state of mind which Peter was in. He was confused. He was broken down. Because the Bible says, when the third time they said, I know you. And he said, I swear I haven't seen that man either. And when the cock crow, and he recognized what Christ had said to him, he broke down. He could not withstand how he betrayed the one who he said he was, that he even cut the soldier ears off, that he said he was going to fight for Jesus. But he denied him. So now Peter was in a state of confusion. And when the lady came and said, oh, the angel told us, he's not dead. He's alive. The tomb is empty. And Peter wanted to act like Goliath, right? He wanted to act like he was the first among the men, ran to the tomb. And when he went there, the Bible said, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Peter thinking, what had happened? You know, when we look at Peter, he was facing a reality of despair. This is the man I love. This is the man I say, I'm going to fight for you. And thinking how he betrayed him and denied him, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And I bet Peter was trying to redeem himself. But thank God for hope. Peter regained hope. And his life didn't end there. When he went and visited the tomb, Peter's life changed. And Peter became one of the greatest disciples of all the disciples. Because, right, he now realized that he found hope. He was once hopeless, but now he gained hope because of Christ's resurrection. Amen. How many of you going through despair? How many going through confusion situation? How many of you lost hope and think there is no way out? But if Peter could regain hope from the empty tomb, church, that tomb is still empty. My Bible tells me that, hey, not only my Bible tells me, but I've seen it with my own eyes when I went down to Israel. The tomb is empty. Hey, Muhammad is still in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. All the other guys, they are still in the grave. But in Jerusalem, Jesus is alive. He gave a living hope. And now that Peter, help me not go to the next slide. Cleopas and a friend on the road to Emmaus. Now they were riding, going, walking down the road. And they were discussing about this man, the thing that happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus appeared to them. If you want to go, you just read Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 38. You're going to read the entire story about that. But because of time, I don't want to spend the next 45 minutes. If you want, I can go ahead and read it. But the Bible said they were on the road, walking. And Jesus appeared with them. And they started talking about the situation at Jerusalem. And Jesus said, what happened? They said, where are you? Are you a stranger? Haven't you heard what happened? I mean, where are you from? You mean you haven't heard the story about Jesus? They crucified him, and he's not in the grave. And Jesus walking with them, talking with them, and they had no idea who he was. Hey, sometimes Jesus walking and talking with us, and we don't even know we're walking on our own business and doing our own thing, forget about him in our midst, in our presence. And focus on the situation. They were focused on the situation, focused on what had happened, and forget that the God himself whom they were speaking about was with them. And the Bible says, when they were about to enter the gate and Jesus was about to leave, he said, no, come and break bread with us. Come. And let us read it. It said, now it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, blessed and broke it, and gave thanks. Guess what? Look at it. He said, what happened? Their eyes were open, and they knew it was him. And I want to believe they were talking to each other. Are we that stupid? This man walked with us and we can't even recognize him. This man talked with us maybe a half mile journey and we can't even remember him. And the Bible says, when their eyes opened, they knew him and he vanished. They were hopeless. But experiencing the presence of Jesus, they now regain hope. Their story changed. Their story changed about, oh, you haven't heard about this dream, about this man. But now, they, instead of talking to themselves, the Bible said they rose very early and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. And let's see what happened to the 11. Help me, okay. The disciples. They heard the news, but they were still afraid. They were still in hiding. They did not believe. Even when the women came and told them, I guess some of them, they were still in doubt. And the news came to them, but they were still in doubt. And here it says in verse 36, it says, now as they said these things, Jesus, can you imagine that they were sitting in that room together, door closed, and they said, can it be true? Peter, are you sure? Especially the news came from the women. Now, during those days, in biblical days, women were not trustworthy of anything. True. They were not. If women brought good news, they would say, oh, no, you're fabricating. You're a lie. Because they did not believe any word from a woman. But guess what? They who should have brought the good news, they were in hiding. So they were like, I want to believe it. Do you think these women are saying the truth? You know what they talk about women in our days, right? They make up stories. So I don't want to believe that. And Peter may have come. And Peter said, oh, I went there and the grave was empty. Even though the angel didn't talk to me, but the grave is empty. Oh, Peter, come on. You two want to make up stories? And then Cleopas and the other came. May have told them, oh, yes, we saw him. We didn't recognize him first. But he broke bread with us, and our eyes are open. Oh, come on, man. They still were doubtful. But look what it says in verse 36. It says, now, as they said to these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Woo! And what happened? He said to them, why? Peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they had seen a spirit. You know, sometimes when we eyes caught it on the name of Jesus, praying. And Jesus, sometimes Jesus appear in different ways to answer our question. We say, is that ready, Jesus? God, is that you ready to answer my prayers? That doubt is still there. And Jesus said in verse 30, and he said to them, why are you troubled? He had told them countless times about his death, his resurrection, and they're still confused. They still did not believe. And he said, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands, my feet, that is I myself. They were hopeless. They had no hope, but Jesus appeared to them, and he brought peace, he brought his greeting to them, and he had to show them a physical evidence. Look at my hand. Look. I would be terrified. But here's the thing. It changed who they were the moment Jesus revealed himself to them. They were lost with our hope. Our Savior has been taken away. But now he told them, I'm going to come. And they saw him for themselves. Isn't that amazing? The physical evidence of his resurrection. And still some of them didn't believe it. And we have one like Dr. Thomas, right? And in verse 40 to 43, it says, when he has said this, he showed his hands, his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said, have you any food? They must have been real doubtful. Because he showed them everything himself present in the midst. And the Bible says, they did not believe for joy. I thought you would say, oh, Jesus, yes, oh, thank God you are alive. But the Bible said, they did not believe for joy, and they marveled. And he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of a broad fish and honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. Now, as I read it apart, how they know it was Jesus, even though Jesus told them it's I. But every time Jesus sat with them and ate, it was different from any other person. So when he ate with them, they recognized truly this is him. Because the manner in which he broke bread with them, the manner in which he ate, how he talked, they believe now that truly his physical evidence of his resurrection proved that he was alive. Help me to the next slide. The disciples, the women, they realized a living hope in Christ. But what is living hope for us? For you and I? Because of Christ's death on Calvary, there is forgiveness of sins. We have salvation. We have eternal life. He gave himself for us on the cross. He took his life. John chapter 3, verse 6, he said, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Eternal life. That's the living hope for us. And not only that, even when we go through trouble, we go through trial, we go through suffering on this earth, we are confident because why? Our God conquers death. And because he lived, hey, even though I'm going to die physically, but spiritually, I'm going to be with my God and my King, my Savior, into heaven. Death doesn't have power over me anymore. Because why? God, Jesus Christ, conquers death. And what's about our future? There is peace and perspective for our future as children of God. We now have hope. We now have a future that the enemy cannot destroy. Because once you are in his hands, you are in his care, you surrender your life to him, he got you for good. So what is your hope today? as we come to the close of this service, I want to encourage each and every one of us. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know him, guess what? You do not have this hope. You will be like the disciples that were in hiding. But the only way you can experience this hope is to accept him as your Lord and Savior. On Friday night, we preached about the thieves on the cross with Jesus. One mocked Jesus, and the other pleaded with him, begged him. He said, Lord, Father, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I want to give you the assurance. I want to guarantee you, not tomorrow or when I come back for the second time, but today you will be with me in paradise. And that's the assurance. That's the hopeful assurance we have for each and every one of us. If he can save that sinner on the cross, he can forgive any of us of our sins. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We just give you the praise and help us, oh God, to realize that by resurrecting from the grave, oh God, you have given us eternal hope that we can live and trust you. We just thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that those who have not known you as the Lord and Savior, you just speak to their hearts. And if you are here this afternoon, you don't know the Lord, you can see any of us, Pastor Gary and I and all the deacons, and we can pray along with you and lead you, because God loves you so dearly that he gave his only son. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll call on the praise team to just lead us into our closing song. Stand with us as we sing, Because He Lives.
Because He lives.
That hope is not yours. Please see us, see your neighbor in the pew. Today's the day to make sure you have Jesus. Receive him by faith. It's not hard. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross of Calvary, and he rose again, and he ascended to heaven. The tomb is eternally empty, and eternal life is eternally ours. Pastor Ansu is going to close us out with a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your life that gives us hope. Thank you that you live. And because you live, we can face tomorrow, knowing that we have hope in your resurrection, knowing that death has no power over you, and you are restored our hope. And as we leave from here, may we not remember this day as a historical day, but to remember what you did for us that we did not deserve, that we couldn't pay our debt, but you paid it all for us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.